Today we're going to continue a message that I sort of started on Wednesday night for our Bible study time. I began in Jeremiah chapter 1 and kind of broke the message in half. Or the people that were here on Wednesday night, we would have been here an extra hour. So I wanted to try and make it possible for... I had something else that I wanted to preach this afternoon, but I felt the Lord leading me to preach the other part of this message today. And so looking at the life of Jeremiah, I'm not going to go through and re-preach what I preached on Wednesday, but just more by way of review, began to look into the situation that Jeremiah the prophet was in. And honestly, I don't know how the men that were prophets in these days could do what they were sent to do, to preach the message. And Jeremiah was one of the most persecuted prophets that we read of in the Old Testament. A man that was in and out of prison, in and out of bondage, and every time he would come out, even in our passage here, he came back out and he just went back to preaching. And he continued after what the Lord had sent him to do. I basically just had 2 points within this whole message. And the first one that we looked at was that the call of God is specific. The call of God is specific. And as we think about Jeremiah, Jeremiah had been sent by God to preach. Talked about the job of the prophet was either to foretell, meaning what is coming in the future, and here it would be the judgment of the people of Judah and other nations as well that Jeremiah was speaking to, but also to foretell, to preach the word of God. And as a preacher, as a pastor, we have the responsibility to foretell, to bring you the message. And many times in the book of Jeremiah, you see the phrase, either the word of the Lord came unto, or thus saith the Lord. And it ought to be the goal, the purpose of this church to preach the message, thus saith the Lord. Unfortunately, we live in a culture that does not want to hear this book. They don't want to see it. They don't want any association with it. If you mention the name of Jesus today, unfortunately, in some context, it can be labeled as hate speech and various other things. And yet, if they'll use his name, form of blasphemy and in vain and swear words and things like that, no big deal. We don't live in a very kind culture today. Canadians may be known as nice people. We live in a very cruel nation. A nation that does not want to hear the truth, the gospel, the word of God. Jeremiah lived in a very similar fashion. Jeremiah was sent by God to preach a message to God's people, and they had nothing to do with it. They would have nothing to do with him. It was very clear that Jeremiah was not preaching Jeremiah's message, but was preaching the word of God. It wasn't about Jeremiah. Very quick review from Wednesday. The call of God is specific. We talked about how God calls people. God calls people. From creation, God calls people. God called out to Adam. God called out to Noah. God called out to Abram, to Abraham. I'm so thankful that God works through human beings. That God did not leave us in our sin. That God came to us to bring hope, to bring salvation. Thankfully, he would bring the Lord Jesus Christ through the seed of the woman. That God would come into the human race to save the human race. I am so thankful that the Lord God would see fit to continue to call out to people. God is calling you to salvation. We've already mentioned, if you're here today and you don't know the Lord, God is calling you right now to salvation. You say, I don't hear him. It's my voice right now is calling you. God is calling to your heart right now. You know you're not saved. And you need to be. God is calling to you once again. The Savior is calling. Will you open your heart? Why don't you let him come in? He calls us to a walk in holiness. He calls us to serve him, to take his message to others. God calls people. God called Jeremiah specifically. If you go back with me to Jeremiah chapter 1, this was our main text on Wednesday. Jeremiah chapter 1, in verse number 5, The Bible tells us that God said to Jeremiah, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." The amazing thing is that God had a plan for Jeremiah, not at his birth, but long before he even formed him in the womb. There's no discussion of when life is, my friend. God had a plan for the life of Jeremiah long before he was ever even conceived. God has a purpose for every one of you in this room. God has a purpose for the little babies that may be inside of mothers within this room. I am so thankful that God had a purpose for Jeremiah long before Jeremiah even entered into this world. I'll talk about it later on, but the womb of the mother is one of the most highly contested places today. But I see here that the child that is in the womb of a mother has a purpose from Almighty God. Jeremiah learns from God, "Before that I formed thee, I knew thee." As parents, you get to go look at ultrasounds. That's an exciting time. I don't mean to be rude, but sometimes your baby looks like an alien just the way the pictures come out. It's like, whoa, that's going to come out of there? No, I'm just kidding. It's an exciting time. You see the fingers and the shapes of things, and it's miraculous. But long before those pictures could be taken, God knew Jeremiah. God is calling you today. God called Jeremiah specifically. God had a purpose for Jeremiah. Jeremiah replied to God's calling with excuses. He said, I can't speak. He says, I'm a child. And God comes back. He reassures him. He says, I shall send thee. I will give you the message. The Bible says that God touched his mouth in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse number 9, just like he did with Isaiah. When Isaiah got a vision of God, when Isaiah kind of understood more of who God was, God touched his lips. And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. The Bible says that here in Jeremiah's life, God touched his mouth. God would put his message, his words, into the mouth of Jeremiah. Your friends, God has touched many of you in many ways. We are failing to put to use what God has placed into our lives. Sadly, when we think about talents and abilities, the world wants those things. But God put them in first and foremost for His glory. And if we are not allowing God to use those abilities, those talents, in priority for Him, we are missing out on the greatest blessings and we are failing to do what God had purpose for us to do. Put them to use. God gives you at salvation spiritual gifts. We touched on these on Wednesday, the spiritual gifts. What spiritual gift do you have? The Bible says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that he's given it to every man. At least one. It could be more than that. You say, I don't even know what that is. It's another message for another time. But look, we won't do it now, but Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You'll see the spiritual gifts listed there. And see where you would find yourself, where you would find what the Holy Spirit has placed into your life. God touched the mouth of Jeremiah for a specific purpose. We see the call of God is specific. But secondly, today as we continue this message, the call of God must not be ignored or forsaken. By the way, if you're interested to listen to the message on Wednesday night, it's on our website. And you can listen to it to get caught up. But here, secondly, today, the call of God must not be ignored or forsaken. The call of God must not be ignored or forsaken. I take my title from Jeremiah, if you turn back to Jeremiah chapter 20, in verse number 9. Jeremiah, in his overwhelming situation of preaching, preaching, nobody wants to hear preaching, preaching, rejection, turn away. Jeremiah, we don't want to hear it. Put that man in prison. Put him to silence. The Bible says in verse number 9 that Jeremiah says, "But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing. I could not stay." I could not stay. Jeremiah said, "I had to do something. Because God was doing something in my heart. Look, when God places a desire in your heart to please Him, Satan is going to do everything he can to diminish that, to weaken that desire, to take that passion away, however he can, whether it's a job, whether it's a spouse, whether it's a friend. He'll do everything he can to weaken that fire, that flame, to keep you from accomplishing the will, the purpose, the calling of God in your life. Jeremiah, the message of Jeremiah was a message of judgment at Judah's final hour. God would send in the foreign nation of Babylon to defeat Judah and bring them into captivity. Jeremiah was hated even by his own people. Jeremiah was the prophet of doom. Just before the judgment came to pass, Jeremiah stood on the edge of the Holocaust. Jeremiah was the prophet of the end of the glory days of Israel. This is a quote by MacArthur. Jeremiah was the prophet of Judah's midnight hour. Isaiah prophesied at 11 o'clock p.m. Jeremiah preached at 12 a.m. Jeremiah was 80 to 100 years after Isaiah. Everything that Isaiah said was going to happen did happen at the end of Jeremiah's time. Isaiah said judgment was coming. Jeremiah said, it's here. In Jensen's survey of the Old Testament, he said this. He says it was Jeremiah who was called to prophecy in the darkest hours of Judah. When Judah as a nation had died, he knew that within a short time, the proud, beautiful city of Jerusalem with its magnificent temple would be in ruins, and that his beloved people would be in captivity. No wonder Jeremiah wept. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. I asked the question on Wednesday, when is the last time that you were so broken over the situation in this country of Canada? It led you to your knees before the Lord and ask God to bring a revival to this land. We've got to stop blaming the people in the government offices. First of all, you need to pray for them. They first and foremost need to know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. That's the priority. Pray for their salvation. Unfortunately, there are Christians that pray for their destruction, their judgment. Pray for their salvation. But pray that you, first of all, as an individual, would have an own personal revival. That you would get things right with God that you need to take care of. And we as a church, that God would revive the Anchor Baptist Church to accomplish God's mission, God's purpose for this church. You say we're just one church. But if every Christian, if every church in this country would get back to their knees and back to a prayer time, back to prayer times, back to our faces in the book that really matters to us in our life, look, our nation would be a completely different place. We are failing in doing what we need to do as Christians. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this privilege to stand here today. Lord, I take it as an honor to be in this pulpit. I thank you for it. Lord, I pray that I would not step in the way in the sense of keeping from your people what needs to be heard today. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be the one that proclaims the words, that I would not try and put in my opinion. Lord, that I would preach your word. Make it clear, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The call of God must not be ignored or forsaken. As we look at Jeremiah, we see in verses 1 to verse number 6, we see that the call of God must be obeyed regardless. Jeremiah had been preaching. The Bible says in verse number 1, Pashur, the son of Immer, the priest, who was also chief governor in the house of the Lord, heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things. Then Pashur smote Jeremiah, the prophet. What a sad day. Complete disregard, disrespect for the man of God. I want to encourage you to encourage your pastor. Pastor Turner is not here today. I hope you pray for him. I hope that you support what your pastor is leading this church to do, where your pastor is. And understand, God gives the leading to the pastor, the under-shepherd of this church. Encourage your pastor. Unfortunately, a lot of us may be guilty of backbiting, of talking about him gossiping and trying to spread things that maybe is just how we see it and is not true. Respect for the man of God. Reverence for the man of God Asher did not have it. The Bible says he smote Jeremiah the prophet. He put him in the stocks, locked him up that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord. What a sad time. But you think about God's truth. God's truth is cutting. I think of Stephen that preached there in Acts chapter 7. And as Stephen proclaimed the word of God, as Stephen proclaimed the truth, the Bible says that he was stoned to death. And he didn't look at his persecutors. He didn't look at them and yelling and screaming at them in the sense of stop doing what you're doing. The Bible says that he looked up towards heaven. The Lord Jesus. And there the Lord Jesus Christ was standing, looking down and taking note of what Stephen was doing. And I thank the Lord for a man like Stephen that would go all the way to death. In more recent days, you think about nations where Christians are being slain for what they are preaching. It's hard to watch. There are videos online, and I would not necessarily encourage you to watch them, but Christians at point blank either stabbed or slain with a sword or driven over with some kind of heavy equipment. And I won't even go into details, but this is what is happening even today while we sit here in the comforts of these chairs and have the easy life. Hardly ever challenged or persecuted as a Christian. Truth is cutting. Truth convicts. Asher smote Jeremiah, put him in the stocks. It's a sad reality that there was no place in the house of the Lord for the word of the Lord. Jeremiah, we don't want to hear that message. Don't you understand? This is the house of God. What's wrong with that? If in the house of God we no longer have room for the word of God, we might as well leave the house of God and go home. This is the message. Unfortunately, we see generations that change, and generations will slowly slip it out and push it away. And all it takes is one generation, and it's gone. Your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren may never get to know because maybe you made a bad choice to not give the Bible the priority in your home. And with all my heart, I want to make sure that Anchor Baptist Church keeps the Word of God right where it's always been, at the center of the preaching, the foundation, the building of this church. Yes, we know Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone, but this is the truth. These are the words of the Lord, and we must continue to proclaim them. You don't have room for the Word of God in your house. Let me encourage you, make room. You say, I don't have room in my schedule to have family devotions. Why not? I'm too busy. Why? Some of you could clear off your movie shelf and add a few Bibles in there and give yourself a lot of time. Football games, hockey games, soccer games. Look, I used to watch hockey all the time. I would sit down and watch triple overtime games. And then my team would lose. And get up off that couch and realize I just spent 6 hours watching a puck go back and forth. 6 hours, I don't have time. I think we need to refocus our lives. Jeremiah, get it out of here. We don't have a place for that here. Lock that man up. He's preaching stuff we don't want to hear. Parents, get the Word of God back into your home. You may not be a parent. You may be a single person here today. Get the Word of God in your home. Give it its place where it needs to be. Not sitting on the shelf to collect dust. You say, that's its place. Get it out. Read it. Get to know it. Get to know the God of this book that gave you this book. Take time to thank the Lord that we have this book. The message from the Lord. The cry around us can be used to discourage us. And this is where we find Jeremiah in verse number 7. He says, O Lord, thou hast deceived me. I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I and hast prevailed. He says, God, you sent me to do this and I obeyed. And he says, look what I'm going through now. He says, for since I spake, I cried out, I cried violence and spoil because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. He says, I'm laughed at daily. He says, I'm mocked by everyone. God's word had been made a disgrace or a shame to me. Jeremiah came to the point in his life where he committed to forsake or to quit living God's calling on his life. He says, I will not make mention. I will not speak in his name. Look, as modern culture today says, hush, Christians. No more of this Jesus stuff. No more of the Bible. No more of those gospel tracts that you're handing out. No more of it. What will we do? Jeremiah came to an overwhelming position. We said, Jeremiah, how could you do such a thing? We are so guilty. So many times that I can't even pull out a gospel tract, a piece of paper, and say, this is for you. Because the pressure. And understand, you're fighting a great battle, a spiritual battle. The overwhelming pressure where God is saying, give him the track, and the devil's saying, don't do it, you fool! You say, I know I need to do it. The devil says, don't do it. We walk away and the pressure's gone. Yet we realize through the conviction of God, messed up. You lost another opportunity. You made a mistake. Jeremiah said, I won't make mention. I'll keep it to myself. I'll go to my workplace and I won't say a thing about it. And yet we notice in the life of Jeremiah, the conviction of the holy fire of God will move us to action. The conviction of the holy fire of God will move us to action. Verse number 9. Then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. He said his word was in mine heart. If somebody were to take every copy of the Bible that you had away from you and said, quote all the scripture you can, what would you be able to put together? I'm trying to remember, was that at the youth conference? There was an illustration that was given. Maybe in Russia or somewhere. A bunch of teenagers, the Bibles had been taken away from them, and they had asked the teens to get together and write down every scripture verse they know. They have memorized. And it was told that those teens, through the next 2-3 days, were able to write out almost the entire 4 Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Verse by verse. Just a few verses that were missing in there. But by memory. And not given time to study and prepare for that. If someone were to take from you every copy that you have, what would you have down deep in your heart? Say, not much. Why? How about in your native tongue? How many verses would you have? The Bible says his word was in mine heart. David says, I will hide God's word in my heart, and I will not sin against thee. You see, God's word keeps us on God's path. And if we will walk the way of truth, we will continue down the path that honors the Lord. And people, yes, they will try and keep us from continuing down that path. And like Jeremiah, we may reach times of discouragement, times of personal struggle. But may I tell you, may I encourage you to get to a point where you recognize the burning fire that God's word is in your heart. Listen to God's conviction through his Holy Spirit. Look with me in Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse number 14, please. Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse number 14. It says, wherefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because ye speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire, and this people wood, and it shall devour them. I think we learn of the great power of the word of God there. It is a word of judgment. Passage to look at. We won't take time to look at it now, but 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1-10. It is a word of judgment, the warning of what was going to come. The scoffers will say, what is the sign of his coming? Where is he? Look, he is coming. Regardless if it seems like a delay to you, to the scoffers around us, he's coming. He is coming. There's no need for doubt. There's no need for worry. There's no need for wonder. Look, read the book of Revelation. And be encouraged. Because we know who wins. We know who's already won. The Lord Jesus is coming. His word is as a burning fire, the word of judgment. He says, it's shut up in my bones. Something that I used to like to do. It's funny, when preachers get up, they often talk about their childhood, all the bad things that they did. And so I won't talk about, not really a bad thing, but we used to build fires. And thankfully, we lived in a place where we could build gigantic fires. Like our Christmas tree, we would wait till it was dried out for like 3 months and then just light it up and just whoosh, pretty amazing. So never started a forest fire. Okay, so don't worry. It was out in an open field. But I remember doing something where I would take a big box, and a fire that was already burning and just set it on top of the fire. And it wouldn't do anything at first, but eventually the heat would build up inside of that box and it would just burst into flames. I always thought that was kind of neat. It wasn't really any kind of a science project of any sort, but the concept of the heat that's building up and that's being stored up, eventually it just bursts into flames. This is Jeremiah. He said, that fire, your word was like a fire inside of me, as a fire shut up in my bones. He says, and I was weary with forbearing. Go back to Jeremiah 20, please. He said, I was weary with forbearing. I couldn't put it off any longer. I had to do something about it. Dear Christian, when was the last time you experienced the conviction of the Holy Spirit? The reproving of the Holy Spirit? The rebuking, the correcting of the Holy Spirit? When was the last time? When was the last time you came to this altar during the invitation time and said, God, I need to make some things right with you? Dear sinner, dear lost person here today, God wants to save you. As He knocks, the Holy Spirit's talking to you. He's calling you. And you to shut the door. Sadly, many times our heart grows colder and harder, and we miss out. Some of us here have put off God's word long enough. Jeremiah said, I was weary with forbearing, with pushing it off. Some of you may not even know the Lord. Some of you may not be feeding that fire daily, and it has grown cold and dim. You say, I want a closer walk with God, but I haven't been in His Word for months. Not going to work. God is calling you. Are you answering? Are you listening? Or are you pushing it off? Somebody that is truly walking with the Lord does not need a fire set underneath of them just to get them to do something for the Lord. Look, if I jumped on the box on that fire just because it wasn't on fire, it's going to be hot eventually. You understand what I'm saying? A fire underneath of us gets us moving. A fire inside of us, what a difference it would make. Why is it that we have to be encouraged? Why is it that we have to be pleaded with, that we have to be begged with to get involved and to serve and to help in the local church, the organization, the organism that God has made for us to be a part of and to labor together for the Lord's gospel? We have to be prodded, pushed along. I love the statement that Jim Elliott made in that video. We don't need a calling. We need a kick in the pants. We need to get moving. And the fire down deep inside of us ought to be saying, serve the Lord. Get to work, dear Christian. Take out the gospel tract and hand it to that person. Jeremiah said, I could not forbear. I could not wait any longer. The fire ought to be burning down deep inside of our hearts. Where does that come from? It comes from every day being in the Word of God and every day being on our knees before God and saying, God, take out me, take out self, my pride, humble me, and make me what You want me to be. Every day. As Paul said, I die daily. Look, it's not of me, but it's all of Him. that I'm going to live this life successfully for His glory today. A song written by Charles Wesley was called, O Thou Who Camest From Above. We don't have it in our hymn book, but I'll read it to you. It says, O Thou Who Camest From Above, the pure celestial fire to impart, kindle a flame of sacred love upon the mean altar of my heart. There let it for Thy glory burn with inextinguishable blaze, trembling to its source return in humble prayer and fervent praise. Jesus, confirm my heart's desire to work and speak and think for Thee. Still let me guard the holy fire and still stir up Thy gift in me. Ready for all Thy perfect will, my acts of faith and love repeat, till death Thy endless mercy seal and make my sacrifice complete. Do you know the fire that I'm speaking of today? That Holy Spirit fire that God brings into your life at salvation. The Bible says that God is a consuming fire. Hebrews 12, verse 28 and 29, it says, Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. I think every prophet that preached the message of God had to have a right view of God, or they could accomplish His will. Isaiah had a vision of the Lord, and it changed his life. It led him to say, I am a man of unclean lips. But it led him to, for the angels to cry, Holy, holy, holy. God is holy. We can't picture it because we've never seen God. So we say, because I can't see Him, He's not real. Unfortunately, atheism is a very common thing for teenagers and young college students to embrace today, because they want answers. You're Christians, the answers are right here. If you wanted a God that you could touch and you could hold and put on your shelf, that's no God at all. If I could say, here's a statue, this is your God, as Aaron said to the Israelites, what is He going to do for you? Sit there and look pretty. That's it. We're ugly. I'm not going to do anything for you. If you had a God that you could touch, that you could put your hands on, you said, then I'll believe. 1 John chapter 1. John the Apostle says, look, we've touched. We've handled of the words of life. We've heard, we've seen Him. Unfortunately, we live in a culture that says, well, I don't believe it because I haven't seen it. Called faith. Hebrews 11, you could read it sometime and learn about others that walked by faith. Hebrews 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. That's the purpose that I live for. That's my calling. Look, I am not going to retreat from this call. I'm not going to forsake this call. I'm not going to walk away from this call. I'm not going to keep pushing away this call. I'm going to answer it. The conversation here in verse number 10, the conversation of the wicked must only fuel the passion. It says, for I heard the defaming of many. Fear on every side. Report, say they, and we will report it. All my familiars are those that seemingly were His closest friends. Watch for my halting or my ceasing or my stopping or to bring it to an end or falling. Peradventure, He will be enticed. We shall prevail against Him. We shall take revenge on Him. Look, we're in a difficult day. Human rights policies that are being passed and bills that are trying to be passed, looking to keep us from having a church like this, it's going to come if we as Christians just sit back and stop proclaiming the Word of God, stop proclaiming the truth. You say, it's just the way it has to be. No, it's not. Jeremiah's day was no different, but Jeremiah still preached. Jeremiah still proclaimed the Word of God. Jeremiah did what he was supposed to do. They said, you preach and we will roast you in the spotlight of the world. Today, this is the arena called social media. It used to be in the newspaper. Then it went to television. It went to radio and various things like that. But never has anything been like what we have today in social media. How you can destroy somebody and 30 seconds later across the world, you've already blasted their name and destroyed them. Social media drives the trends, it drives the fashions, it drives us to what we think we need to be for acceptance in this day. But my friend, the Bible tells us something completely different. Are you longing for the world's acceptance, or are you longing for the acceptance of our Lord? Jeremiah said, I am longing for His acceptance. God is going to take care of the enemy. God's going to take care of them. David said in Psalm 2, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? He goes on to later say that I see their judgment. I see that it's going to come. And I leave that up to God. But I will be faithful. And I will do what God's called me to do. I pray that God is giving you a passion in your soul today. A revival in your heart to say, God, I will stand for you in my school. I will stand for you in my university. I will stand for you at my workplace. I will proclaim your word. Unfortunately, many of us sit through a church service and walk out and say, thank you, see ya. You go into another week, unchanged, all in the world's way of life. You're Christians. We need a revival. We need a brokenness over our sin, over the sin of this land. David says in Psalm 35, 15, but in mine adversity they rejoiced and gathered themselves together. Yea, the abjects gathered themselves together against me, and I knew it not. They did tear me, and they ceased not. You think God doesn't know? What happened to Stephen? He was stoned to death. But what happened as a result of it? Saul was consenting to his death, and as he held the cloaks, the coats of those that stoned him, Saul would later become the greatest missionary that we could read of, in the Apostle Paul. You say it wasn't right that Stephen went through what he went through. Why? You see, when our life is truly in God's hands, it's up to God to do with it what He pleases. The life in God's hand does not necessarily mean that He'll protect us from all things around us. A statement that's been made is the center of God's will is the safest place. I don't believe that's true. I believe the center of God's will is the best place. Because there have been many missionaries that have given their lives for the Lord in His will. They're called martyrs. Martyrs of the faith. Could that be you? If God called you to a land that says no Bible allowed, would you go? I read a story recently about a lady that was going into Cuba, taking Bibles. She had a suitcase filled with Bibles. She wasn't supposed to bring Bibles with her. She stopped in two other airports, had to open her suitcase. They looked in them, saw the Bibles, everything was okay. Got to Cuba in the airport where the Bibles were not welcomed. Couldn't open her suitcase. Tried to unzip it, couldn't open it. Fought it, couldn't open it. Finally, the guard let me do it. Pushed her aside and tried to open it. Brand new suitcase. Never get it opened. She went to her hotel room after the guard finally said, just get out of here. Went to look for a pair of scissors or a knife to open her suitcase. Grabbed the zipper and opened it. I love those stories. She said, well, that's weird. No, it's God. There's many more stories just like that. Where God gets involved and God accomplishes the work. How can we reach Canada? We can't. But God can. And we need God's help. No matter how many are against us, remember the Lord is with me. They shall stumble, verse 11. They shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed. They shall not prosper. Their confusion or destruction will never be forgotten. I love verse 12. He says, but O Lord of hosts. And this is a phrase in Scripture that has really stood out to me. This phrase, Lord of hosts. Many times we'll read it as just another name of God, but do you understand a little bit about what that means? The Lord of hosts, first of all, the Lord, what we would say Jehovah or Yahweh, the self-existed one, the one who is eternal. This phrase occurs 235 verses in the Bible, and 71 of them occurring in Jeremiah. This idea of a host is a mass of persons, especially organized for war. You see, God is not alone. He would be sufficient if He were alone. But when the Bible says that Jesus, or when we talk about how Jesus could have called the angels of heaven to come down, remove Him from the cross, that's just a glimpse into the host. I think it's Elisha prayed that God would open the eyes of His servant And as he looked out in fear and saw around him the host of heaven, the angels, standing around them, ready at any given command to charge. The Lord of hosts, God has the host of heaven at his disposal to come to your aid when necessary, to stand between you and the enemy when needed. Understand that we are not alone. I'm not trying to creep you or freak you out here, but there are angels that surround us. I often will pray that God would place his hedge of protection by his angels. The Bible says the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and he delivereth them. I am encouraged that we serve a God of hosts and Lord of hosts. And Jeremiah says, the Lord, O Lord of hosts, you try the righteous. I don't live for man's applause. You see the reins, you see the inward parts, you see the heart, you see that body, soul, and spirit that Brother Watson preached about several weeks ago. He gave the vengeance over to God. Verses 14 down through verse 18, we see just kind of a part of where Jeremiah had gone through in his discouraging time. But he gets to verse number 14. It said, cursed be the day wherein I was born. Let not the day wherein my mother bare me be blessed. Cursed be the man who brought tidings to my father, saying, a man-child is born unto thee, making him very glad. And let that man be as the cities which the Lord overthrew. Repented not, and let him hear the cry in the morning and the shouting at noontide, because he slew me not from the womb, or that my mother might have been my grave, and her womb to be always great with me. Where was it that God called Jeremiah? The womb of his mother. Jeremiah, we're reading here in this passage, Jeremiah, this is describing what he was enduring. In that time where he says, I won't speak, I'm just going to keep it to myself. Jeremiah was in an overwhelming situation. You say, how could he reach that? Think about what he was facing. Nobody wanted to hear his message. The discouragement that he must have been going through. Nobody wanted to have anything to do with him. The guy had been locked up. He had been dropped in a pit. He would have died had it not been for a woman that was not even part of his people come and help spare his life. Jeremiah, in a very difficult time, speaks of that place where God had called him from. He said, he slew me not from the womb. God had ordained him in that very special place. The womb of a mother is a very sacred place. And don't you ever try to play God in the life of the children that he gives to you. This child is not worth having. Let's have it put to death. My friend, you don't know what God has in store. You don't know. God has plans for your children. You say, I read a very sad story the other day about a man that had been convicted like 25 years ago for killing his daughter and some physical things that she had gone through. And he still, after serving his sentence and then being on parole and all of that, he still thinks he was right. Unfortunately, the justice system obviously didn't accomplish what it was supposed to do. There would be people that are fighting for him and all of that today, unfortunately. My friend, we don't know why God would choose to give this child the disease and this child be able to live a normal life. It's not about the sin that the parents committed. It's about the glory of God. Now, I know that sometimes parents make poor choices bringing drugs and alcohol and things like that into their body and harming the child that is going to come. But we can't make that choice. The life is life inside the womb. Whether it takes a breath or not, it's still a person. Human life. And may we stand for it, dear Christian. The devil wants to keep your child. The devil wants to keep these teenagers. The devil wants to keep all of us from having the opportunity to fulfill the calling of God on our life. We have looked at in very brief detail of the calling and the message of God in Jeremiah's life. My question is, though, what about you? Why don't you ask God, what are you calling me to do? How am I failing to obey your call for me? God's call is specific, and I have no doubt that he is calling you today. How will you respond? Will you ignore it? Will you walk away from it? you're here today and you don't know the Lord as Savior, you have an opportunity. We can show you clearly from the Bible how you can be saved and how you can have a secure eternal home in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ for all of eternity. But will you push it away? Have you forsaken the calling of God on your life? Maybe at one point you served the Lord with love, joy, with passion, and a fire that seemed it would never go out. Will you repent today and turn back to the Lord and obey His call on your life? 2 Peter 3:9 tells us that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 1 Timothy 2:3-6, it says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." Why don't you say yes to His calling on your life and be saved today? Christian, why don't you say yes to the Lord and answer His call in your life? I look at faces here today. I look at many people here. We could say with much potential. My heart breaks over teenagers that I have failed to reach. And I spoke about this on Wednesday night. Church family, we need to bathe the work of God in so much more prayer. Say, why in the world would we have a prayer time at 6 o'clock on a Friday morning? We need prayer. Honestly, we could do that a whole lot more. I have served too much of my ministry, too much of my time in the Lord's work without prayer. So you never pray? No, that's not it. I don't pray enough. We need to pray more. You see, I don't know what God's calling me to do. Have you asked Him? How's your heart today, dear Christian? Is it cold? Is it rock hard? Because you've ignored the Word of God? I ask you again. The invitation is given here. Every time Pastor preaches, there's an altar call, there's an invitation. Will you walk out for the exit and find your way home? Or will you come and deal with what God is doing in your heart right now? Anchor Baptist Church, we need a revival. We need an awakening. We need God to light that fire in our hearts. Get the Word of God down deep in your heart. Jeremiah said, "I couldn't keep it. Fire was shut up in my bones. I could not stay. I had to do something. I had to preach because that's what God called me to do." What is God calling you to do, Christian? Are you pushing it away? Fathers in this room, God is calling you to father your children. Make it a priority. Don't make your job the priority. Make being a father priority in your life. Husbands, God is calling you to husband your wife. I don't know if that's an accurate statement in saying that, but to be your wife's husband, to lead her. Women will lead if you will let them, but unfortunately, God has called men to be a leader, to be the leader in the home. And when the men shut their mouths, it gets taken away. Men, we have got to stand up. We need some men that will say, "I'll be at prayer time on the Sunday morning." Look, we've got a lot of empty seats there on Sunday morning, men. You can come and join us. Come and be a part. Say as a man, "Look, I need God. This church needs God." Dear ladies, are you fulfilling your role as a woman? Women are some of the strongest prayer warriors in this world. Are you a praying mother? Are you a praying wife? Are you a praying lady? Let the Lord speak to your heart. Let the Lord challenge you. We continue to talk to the Lord as we go into prayer.